The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Before we bring in Eric Davis, John, the Bengals are 0-1. The Niners did beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-17, so they have a they're coming off a nice win from there, and you know, we'll see how they respond this week. John, how do you feel about this one going into it?
I don't know, because I think right now the odds or the line is +2 for the Bengals, because you know the 49ers are 1-0 and the Bengals are 0-1. But there's just a lot of talk about how Garoppolo just didn't play very well against the Buccaneers, but it was a 2-touchdown game because the Buccaneers were just that worse. So maybe we haven't gauged a good understanding of how good this 49ers team is, but there's a lot of potential for them to be dangerous. And I think that starts with Kyle Shanahan. He's one of the very few offensive geniuses that I think, you know, deserve that acclaim. And there's just not a lot of big names on that offense. You know, you have Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis. They have another rookie receiver whose name I'm forgetting. Debo Samuel, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who again hasn't played well of late, and he's just coming off a torn ACL, but they still put up 31 points, you know, on the road against the Buccaneers, against a defense that should have improved this offseason. So there's just a lot of potential for them to be a lot more dangerous than I think a lot of us are leaning on, because this was a team that won like 2 or 3 games last year. But Shanahan did manage to get pretty equal production from Nick Mullins that he did from Jimmy Garoppolo before Garoppolo got hurt. So maybe it'll take time for Garoppolo to get really acclimated into, you know, the Shanahan system, but they have the potential to be very dangerous, and primarily because a great offensive line led by an offensive tackle that I wanted the Bengals to draft, and Mike McGlinchey at right tackle, Joe Staley, who might be a borderline Hall of Famer left tackle, he's still kicking it, he's still really good, and that defensive line is dangerous. When you invest so many first round picks, like, it's got to be good at some point, and like, one of their high picks isn't even playing in Solomon Thomas, so just the addition of Nick Bosa to that defensive line, they can give them similar, if not more, troubles than the Seahawks did. So I think there's potential for this game to be just as close as it was last week, even though the 49ers on paper may not be as dangerous as we might think.
Yeah, and the Bengals, as they returned home in the preseason, they played some of their better football there, really the last couple of games. So maybe a return home will also equate to a win here. You know, some of the things that I find interesting, you know, you talked about Garoppolo, and I'm waiting to hear, you know, once Eric Davis comes on, I'm hoping we can, you know, ask him about that. But, you know, one of the aspects is Garoppolo it was well known he struggled throughout the preseason and then really didn't play that great against a not so great Tampa Bay team this first week. One touchdown, one interception. So I don't know how big of a threat he truly is. You mentioned that he may still be acclimating to things, and obviously coming off a pretty bad injury. So I don't know. What are your overall kind of thoughts or inklings of the Bengals' chances as they head into this week?
Well, again, I think if they play like last week, you know, the mistakes will kind of even out. I think the run blocking is probably going to even out to be better. I think they're going to get some more communication on some of those combo blocks that were unfortunately the reason why the running game was not really working against Seattle, because overall the offensive line, I think, played well for three quarters, and in pass protection, it held up about as well as it could against an absolute bowling ball in Jadeveon Clowney. And in the run game, I thought they got decent push on the first level, but unfortunately just got to clean up on some of that second level blocking. So it'll be interesting to see how different or similar the game plans are from an offensive standpoint. But just like the Seahawks, I think that secondary for the 49ers is extremely volatile and extremely exploitable. I know they still have Richard Sherman, but he just got his first interception last week for the first time since like 2017. And I'm not sure if I can name one of their safeties as well. So there's a lot of potential for Dalton to keep up his hot streak without AJ Green. And, you know, I think only like, what, four or five running backs in total are going to be active for this game. So there's going to be a lot of passing as well. And Shanahan likes to pass out of that 21 personnel where he has two running backs on the field. One of them is primarily a fullback in Kyle Juszczyk. So a lot of passing in this game. There's going to be a lot of continued rotation for both defensive lines. It might just come down to who really gets tired first, because this game could honestly go into the high 20s for how exploitable both defenses are and how much of an unknown both offenses are in terms of scheme and personnel and guys coming back from injury and all that stuff. So I don't have too big of an issue with them being 2-point underdogs, because again, it's a losing team facing off against a winning team. But at the same time, like, you know, for as much unknown that the Bengals have for the 49ers, I think it's equal amounts of unknown that the Bengals don't know about the 49ers. So again, like, I like what I saw last week, and I think there's similar parts of the 49ers that they can, you know, kind of capitalize on. But at the same time, it's still Kyle Shanahan, and he's still an offensive genius, and they still have playmakers that can really rip the secondary apart.
Yeah, one of the things I thought the Bengals did well last week that really, I mean, we saw throughout the preseason, even under Zach Taylor, but definitely under the preceding regime and even before that, is the tight ends killing them. That didn't really take shape this last week with Will Dissly, who Seahawks fans really liked him. Brandon Schultz last week, who joined us, talked about Will Dissly as a guy they really liked. I think he only had like one catch. So I thought that was a very interesting and great job by the Bengals defense to corral him. Obviously George Kittle is a very good player. You know, are you scared of that matchup?
Absolutely. Kittle might be the best tight end in the league. And that's coming from a UC fan who loves Travis Kelce. Like, the fact that he is as good of a receiver as he is a blocker, and he's essentially a younger Rob Gronkowski at this point, because he's so nasty in the run game. He can get to linebackers very quickly, and he can just bulldoze any edge defender that he comes up against. But yards after catch, man, like, Shanahan loves those play action rollouts where he just dumps off to Kittle either in the flat or running like a little medium crosser, and just get Kittle moving with the ball, get some momentum with him. Like, it's hard enough to cover him. It's even harder to tackle him in the open field. And I think almost 60 or 70% of his yards last year came after the catch, and he got well over 1,000 yards. And now, again, that was with Nick Mullins as his quarterback. So now he has Garoppolo, who should be better from a talent perspective, even though he might not be all the way there yet. But they're going to have to get creative with how they can kind of minimize the impact that Kittle has. Like, last week, it was keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket and make him try to work things from a limited space. Now it's got to be basically bracketing a tight end who primarily lines up from an inline position. So a lot of stress on, you know, Nick Vigil, Sean Williams, Clayton Fedulum, whoever lines up from a strong side perspective over the line of scrimmage, and kind of just press him at the line, bracket him, make sure he doesn't get comfortable releasing off of the line of scrimmage. And Shanahan is going to find a way to probably adjust for that, you know, later on in the game and maybe split him out wide a little bit more. But like I said, they might not run the ball as much as, you know, as much as the Seahawks did last week, because they're only going to have two running backs active. So they're going to try to, you know, utilize, you know, Matt Breida and George Kittle as extensions of the running game with some short, quick passes to try to get the ball out of Garoppolo's hands a little bit quicker. And that's definitely going to be something that they need to capitalize on. make sure that if Kittle destroys them, it's in the underneath game and wrap him up quickly and get to him quickly because he's a big man to bring down.
Yeah. You know, I, like I said, obviously last week they did a good job corralling Disley, but Kittle's a different animal altogether. And, you know, who knows if now the Bengals have a, you know, if they, now that they've put stuff on tape, if teams are going to play, you know, if they're going to be able to catch up on stuff, maybe that, you know, the Bengals did not put out on tape during the preseason, or if it's, you know, if the team kind of is still able to do what they want to do, even though now, you know, they've tipped their hand a little bit in terms of potential predictable play calling, that sort of thing. So we'll see what happens there. I have a pretty good feeling about this week, John. Personally speaking, I think that the Bengals, this is a game that they can handle. At least based on some things we saw last week, obviously got to clean some stuff up, but I think they probably could come out victorious, maybe a 23-17 score for me. I don't know about you.
Here's my thing. The 0-2 curse is extremely real. Like from 1995 to 2013, 12% of the teams who finished 0-2 fail or didn't or made the playoffs. So 88% of the teams who start the season 0-2 missed the playoffs. So obviously that pressure is extremely high. It's going to be maybe the hottest game in the history of Paul Brown Stadium, approaching, I think, 95 degrees.
Mm.
And you're going to wear all black. Like that's the plan. They're going to bring out the Black Panther this one. They're going to be sweating their butts off, but right after kickoff.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
It's a great passion statement, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was going to be that warm. How's the humidity? What's the humidity like?
Oh, we're right next to the river, man. Like it's rained a little bit this week. It might rain at the end of this week. Oh my God, this could be a nightmare. I definitely would not want to go to this game.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it still probably will be packed. A lot of people are starting to buy back in, it seems, into the Bengals and what Zach Taylor is selling them, and obviously based on what they did last week. I do feel good about this game, but I do think this team needs to potentially get to at least 2-2 through these first 4 weeks. If they can get two games out of these first four, preferably with one of them being against Pittsburgh, you know, I think that you know, that will go a long way for the rest of the season. Even though that the opponents aren't overly tough, you know, the Bills, I think, are beatable. 49ers are beatable. Pittsburgh at least looks beatable. The Bengals almost had one first week. I just think that those three road games to start the season is really tough on a team. So if they're able to get to 500 at least, I think that'll go a long way and maybe, you know, having them be competitive down the stretch.
I'm just glad that we're not facing Pittsburgh this week because it would be a complete we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. Yeah, that's probably a good thing. And maybe hopefully they get a win or two before facing Cincinnati, so they're not, they're not all over us.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Well, we have a very special guest, as we have teased throughout the week, Mr. Eric Davis, Super Bowl champion with the San Francisco 49ers, and now part of the Believe in the 49ers podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. How are you, sir?
I am well. Holding on for an old man.
Well, I don't believe that. I think you look great still, and I'm sure you're in great shape, but we're pleased to have you with us. And we're looking forward to this week two matchup between the Bengals and the 49ers. Let's kind of jump right into it. The Niners won last week. They beat a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that many folks kind of are getting a tough read on at this moment in time. But how are feelings around the 49ers right now? Two touchdown win. you know, created 3+ turnovers and, you know, really came out victorious.
Well, you always feel good about a win. It doesn't matter who you are. There's no such thing as an easy win in the NFL. Everyone involved knows that. I've been involved with it long enough to know that you know, that ball is not round. The football's not round, and it can bounce in strange ways. So going on the road, especially first game of the season, when everyone definitely has time to prepare for their opponent, you don't know what's going to get. And look at the 49ers who haven't had success on the road recently. You know, they have not been road warriors. So for them to get a win, get the turnover, something they didn't do last season, they are feeling good about that right now. But they know there's a lot of work to do. There are a lot of mistakes, you know, penalties, things that they could do much better. So they are happy with the win, but they know that there's a lot of work ahead.
Eric, this is John Sheeran, Anthony's co-host. As a Bengals fan, a lot of us are used to pulling out a win, even though the quarterback doesn't exactly perform very well. This was Jimmy Garoppolo's first game coming off of that torn ACL. And honestly, he looked pretty sluggish out of the game. What is the overall concern level with Garoppolo and just getting reacclimated into this offense? Are you confident in a bounce back performance, or do you think that this is going to be a process that's just going to take time as he's still recovering and coming back?
Jimmy just has to play. This is the thing about Garoppolo and where he is right now. That was his 11th start, I believe. So I mean, you know, he's going to come in Cincinnati with 11 games under his belt as a starting quarterback. So as far as his health, and you know, a lot of guys are concerned about his health. I've been asked about his knee and, like, you know, what's your take on him working through the knee injury and getting better? I don't care about his knee. I really don't care about his knee. He's on the field, so he's not injured. So now that he's not injured, now I want to see him develop as a quarterback. I want to see him understand how to run Kyle Shanahan's offense, get more precise with his reads and his timing and the windows and understanding what he can and cannot do, get his protection set, all of those things. He was, you know, you can't throw that pick six that he threw. I mean, he has to take that out of his game. That's just something that just simply can't happen. He's got to get rid of that. But I understand he needs time to get better. My take on Jimmy is just watching him personally on the field. When I went to training camp this year and I physically saw him play for the first time, I saw him throw some balls, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that's delicious. I would love to play against that. His arm is not the strongest. That's how it looked to me. Now, a lot of that comes now, the strength and the timing and all of those things come from you playing more and knowing where to put the ball. You don't have to have the strongest arm to be a successful quarterback. So that's what I want to see him. I want to see him just continue to progress, continue to get better. I am not one of those, and a lot of people like the franchise quarterback is here. I'm like, let me just see if he can be a solid starter. That's why I am. You know, because I know it takes time to get going, but I'm not giving him the knee excuse. You're on the field, you're healthy, and no other position gets to use the knee excuse. So I'm not letting Jimmy use it either.
Eric, both of these teams come in a little bit bruised up so early in the season. The Bengals, yeah. You know, Joe Mixon's rolled his ankle last week. They're obviously going to be set to be without A.J. Green. Cordy Glenn, the Bengals' left tackle, is in concussion protocol still. And then on the other side of the ball, the Niners' running back seem a bit battered. Nick Bosa, you know, has that ankle injury that he's still kind of nursing, even though he had a great first game as a pro. What's the concern level going into this week against the Bengals, as, you know, both teams are kind of battered, and especially at the running back position for San Francisco?
Yeah, well, you know, Raheem, he has come in and he has run the ball. He ran the ball well for them, and he's a young player that they really feel good about. They understand. I mean, he's taking advantage of his opportunities. He plays tough. Kyle Shanahan likes him a lot, and he believes that he can still do the things he wants to do at the running back position with him. Of course, you always want your other guys to be healthy. You know, it's the same on the Bengals side of the ball. You want Mixon out there. Yeah, the coach is going to say, we have other guys that can do the job, but there's a reason why Mixon is your guy. because he can do those things a little bit better. So both teams are battered there. And it's more interesting on the Bengals side to me, because I don't think you can go in. If Mix is not hurt, I want to see where those touches are going to be at the running back position, because I don't think you really want to go against the 49ers defense and throw the ball 51 times like Andy did last week. I just think that just kind of plays into the hands and the strength of their defense doing that. And with the Niners, the flip side of that is that I think they actually want to utilize Jimmy Garoppolo more. I think they want to, you know, to get the ball out of his hand and into the receiver's hand. So I don't think they're going to try to pound it quite as much. So that's the way I see that running back injury situation playing out.
Yeah, speaking of that 49ers defense, that's really the most intriguing aspect of this game to me, is how there's two very deep and very talented defensive lines going up against each other. But for that 49ers defensive line, you have Nick Bosa, you have the addition of Dee Ford, you have monsters and Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. Really, the guy on the outside looking in now is Solomon Thomas, a guy that I really loved coming out of that 2017 draft class. What is really going on with him? Is it just not him really developing like the staff has wanted to, or is he just not really a scheme fit for what they've been trying to do? Because it's year three, and honestly, and he played the second least amount of snaps for the game last week. So what is really going on with Solomon Thomas?
That's a hard one, man. I don't know. The thing that happens with that defensive line is that the way they like to play it, Solomon wants big guys, active guys, and he's going to rotate them a lot. Now, so he's going to get, Solomon will get his opportunities. That's going to happen, but it's about production. When you come in as a high draft pick, a lot is expected of you. And when other guys come in and they perform, then you can be viewed differently. But it's not that they're unhappy with what's going on. There are some guys that I believe they think that can produce just as much. So they're all going to be a part of that rotation. They're all going to get their chances. And sometimes, this is the thing about it, sometimes you can make plays, you can be a big-time force, and it doesn't necessarily show up in the stat book. You know what I mean, guys? Yeah. You can come in and be disruptive. You can come in and be someone that's holding the point, that's allowing guys around you to be clean and make plays. And he's a big body, and he has done that. That's one thing that if you really watch the tape and you watch what's going on, he does do more than what just shows up in the stat book. And that is something that they rely on him to be able to do. You can coach around that as well.
Yeah, sounds a lot like Carl Lawson for the Cincinnati Bengals in a way.
Yes, exactly.
This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. We are joined by Super Bowl champion and former All-Pro cornerback Eric Davis. Super stoked to have him on the program. We'll be chatting with him for just a couple more minutes here. We appreciate his time. Eric, I'm a West Coast guy. I grew up in Southern California, currently live there, and obviously with the Bengals grabbing John Ross, I know of the UW kids and the Pettis kid that the 49ers have. I know he's kind of under a little bit of scrutiny. He was challenged by the coaches this offseason to kind of up his game. I know it's only been one game of the season, but what are expectations here for him going forward? Because he was an absolute stud with the Huskies.
Well, and you know what? You know all about him. He's a tremendous athlete. He's just not healthy right now.
I
believe he actually aggravated that groin once again in his last game versus Tampa. And they really want him, and more so of a challenge, it was just that they want him to just step up and be the guy. The 49ers need someone. I mean, they haven't really developed. That's the one thing you can look at this team, and in the last decade, I mean, you go back and every position, defensive lineman, running backs, tight end, and everywhere. They always seem to develop someone, but they've had a hard time finding, that wide receiver that can just stick and be the guy. That's probably T.O. And, Crabtree came in and did some things for him, but, I mean, that's really been the last one that they've developed into a stud. And that's what they're waiting for. They're actually, and that's why I think they're hoping that he can get healthy and that he can decide that he wants to be the guy. Because at some point, man, someone in that room has to just say, it's me.
Yeah.
No. I'm getting the ball. It's me. I'm going to be the star. I'm going to make you design plays so that I can get the touches. And no one that hasn't happened yet. That it's a good looking room. There's some talented guys there. But I told somebody yesterday, there's no AJ Green in that room. And that's what you look for. That's what you hope for. When you draft a guy high, you hope that he can turn into one of those players where you go into it knowing that you have to get touches and the defense knows that you have to defend that guy. So that's what they're hoping, and that's what Kyle Shanahan is hoping, that Pettis actually tells himself and decides that I want that talent that we've all seen. I want it to show up consistently, because that's the thing about it, the league, guys. It's not about being good. and that's what young players, and Pettis, I think he's in that right now, where he has to get beyond trying to be good and understand that it's not about being good. Everybody's good in the NFL. You don't make it. You have to be consistent, and that's what pro sports are about. They're about being consistent, and that's what he needs to do, and he hasn't shown that.
Yeah, so yeah, there's no alpha dog as a receiver, but isn't that kind of what George Kittle is right now? Is that a problem for the 49ers to go through Kittle? Because he's probably arguably the most talented tight end in the league right now.
Well, Kittle, it may be that alpha at the tight end position, but you need it outside the numbers.
Yeah.
You really do. It's great to have that matchup. It really is to have a tight end that's a security blanket, and we know how important it is right now. We know how good a player Kittle is. But you have to have some guys that can just pick it up and put it down out there on the Autobahn, man. When you get outside those numbers and you're on the Autobahn, I mean, you need somebody that you know they're going to be high-speed chases and fatalities at collision when they're collision. And you got to have someone that's really able to make plays out there. And if you don't have that, it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult to win. It becomes difficult to get easy points. And you guys know that, I mean, good tight ends up in Cincinnati. But it's a different game plan when AJ's not out there. It's just different going defending that defense. I mean, defending that offense. And that's what the 49ers need. They do need some type of alpha. They need some type of guy in that wide receiver room that can create some fear in a defense. You don't, and that player doesn't have to be able. He doesn't have to score a touchdown every game. He doesn't have to have 150 yards. But trust me, as a defensive back and being in defensive meetings, if you know that guy's capable of it, the thought of being on those highlights, because remember, every man's highlight is another man's low light. The thought of being on those low lights, it's two ways to make the top 10. Okay, mm-hmm. It's two ways. Always remember that you don't want to be the one get posterized.
Yep.
And the threat of that makes defensive coordinators call games differently. That's what they need. They really need to find a way to fix that.
So, Eric, what are some of the more intriguing matchups specifically for this game that you're looking at? Ones that'll really dictate the outcome of the game. We had kind of we have some live listeners tuning in while we're chatting here. You know, one of which was kind of, you know, do you think the Bengals' quick hitting pass game can negate the good pass rush from the Niners? Obviously, that's one area, but any others that you may be looking at?
You know what? I would, on both sides of the ball, I think that if you look at the center guard exchange, and your caller, your listener that was just talking about the quick passing game, I think that's going to be very important for both of these teams. That center guard exchange being able to stop that inside pressure, because I was watching the game and I heard someone say that Geno wasn't the same. You're an idiot if you forget about Geno Atkins. You're just stupid going into a game. just because he can crush a pocket and just make things hard. He can get so that sears right in front of the quarterback's face. No quarterback likes getting hit in the beak. And I think both of these quarterbacks play differently when they have pressure right in their face. I think both of these defensive coordinators are going to try and do that. So I think the way the offensive lines on both sides handle that is going to be important. And another major thing in this game, I actually think that special teams, there will be plays made on the special teams that will determine this game. They will seriously determine the outcome of this game.
Talking with former All-Pro cornerback Eric Davis of the San Francisco 49ers. Eric, this is going to be a close game right now. I think Vegas has this as +2 for the Bengals. It's their home opener. They started 0-1. You have the 49ers, you know, back-to-back East Coast games. How do you see this playing out? What do you got for a prediction for us?
Oh, man. Yeah, I hate doing that. I really, really hate. I have always hated predicting. Definitely, I don't like doing scores, but I'm looking at this game and where it is. If you ask me, a winner, looking at the game plan and the way they nearly executed everything going into a hostile environment last week, I would give the edge to Cincinnati. Definitely, I think the Bengals have the edge in this one. I really like the game plan. I really like the way Andy Dalton handled all the pressure of being up in Seattle. That's a tough place to play on the road, first game, knowing that Pete had that defense prepared to play against those guys. I thought he did a very good job beyond dropping that ball. I still can't believe he dropped the ball after that turnover early in the second half. Mm-hmm. You can't do that, Andy. You just simply can't drop that one. But I like the way the plan was put together and the way the guys were executing it. So if you can do that on the road early in the season, I would definitely think they would be more comfortable doing that at home. And if they have that type of execution, I think that they should win the game versus the Niners this week.
We've been chatting with Eric Davis, former Super Bowl champion and All-Pro defensive back with the San Francisco 49ers. He is part of the Believe in 49ers podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. Eric, this has been an immense pleasure, man. I've been following your post-NFL career for a long time. You're one of my favorite media guys out there, truth be told, so I'm totally fanboying right now. But it's been awesome chatting with you. I'd say let's have you on more often. These two teams don't face off too often, but thanks for making the time and being flexible for fitting us in, man.
No problem, man. And you know what? Those two teams don't have to play for me to come on as long as you guys don't mind the street noise right now. Sorry about all of that.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Go enjoy some football tonight.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Take it easy. That was Eric Davis, as we mentioned. That was awesome, and I got to give the applause to my co-host John Sheeran. He set that up and reset that up for those who are tuning in live. You know, Mr. Davis there was supposed to be joining us on our usual weekly show. There was a little bit of communication issue there, and he ended up joining us later on here. And still spending about, you know, close to 20 minutes talking about this game. And he brought it, man. That was awesome. Thanks for setting that up, John.
All you got to do is just have an email account, man. Sometimes some great things will come your way.
Yeah. And, sometimes it surprises me who actually reads and listens to our stuff, because obviously our names are out there, and, reps and other media members and former players and all that stuff. They get in touch with us to potentially line these things up, and you set this up, and this was awesome, man. I appreciate you. Were you surprised at his prediction? I thought that was a little surprising. I thought he was going to go Niners on that one, but maybe it was the road game or, I don't know.
He's a smart guy. He knows what to say on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. He's maybe just playing to the audience here, but that was Eric Davis. As we mentioned, he's an All-Pro defensive back. He's won a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers. You've seen him on NFL Network. You've seen him on the Rich Eisen show as a fill-in guy. He's been all over the place, and now he's part of the Believe in 49ers podcast network and part of the Believe, just the overall Believe in podcast network. By the way, I had one of my friends who's a Niners fan. He texted me while we were chatting with Eric, and he said, did you say Austin Pettis and mean Dante Pettis. I think I just kind of said Pettis because I didn't want to say the right or wrong name there. So if I did happen to say the wrong name,
former Colts legend Austin Pettis.
Yeah. So at any rate, that was awesome. A lot of fun. Appreciate John, you setting that up, and appreciate the time from Eric Davis there. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. And as always, you can get this show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Google Play. You can get it on YouTube, and all of our stuff is on cincyjungle.com. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the week 2 matchup. Should be a good one between the Bengals and the 49ers in the home opener. Thanks, Johnny. We'll see you. We'll talk this weekend, I'm sure, because we'll be doing work for the site, right?
Absolutely, man.
Keep in touch. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.